It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Christmas. I'm a big fan of Christmas, and I love celebrating our Lord's birth. I'm off for the Christmas holidays. My team and I are enjoying our time with our family. I hope you are too. Please listen in to some of our favorite recorded interviews, some of our favorite interviews, yeah, and enjoy your Christmas holidays. Anyway, welcome to Money for Lunch. Always excited to have you guys here. Here's the weekend edition of Money for Lunch. Dinero for Lunch. All right, so I've got to work on that Spanish titling there. But anyway, good to have everybody here. Interesting stuff happening. It is the end of the year almost. We're just really, for us entrepreneurs, for most of us, unless you have a seasonal business that does super well during the holiday seasons, we are, winding down our business. Yes, most of us are winding down our business, and we're getting ready for tax season. We're doing end of the year stuff. We're reconciling our books, all that other good stuff. And it's amazing to me how quickly things got here, right? Seems like just a couple of days ago it was January. Now here we are at the end of the year. All right, some of the top news. Eric Garner, he's a police officer that put a chokehold. No, I take that back. He was the gentleman who was killed by a New York police officer via a chokehold, getting a lot of attention, a lot of stuff gearing up. Our hearts go out to, those individuals involved in that, both Mr. Eric Garner and as well as the police department. I mean, you know what? It's tragic when this occurs. It's nobody wants this. I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what happened. It seems like a lot to deal with for selling cigarettes or whatever it was he was doing, but crap happens. And sometimes we have to look at things. We cannot blame society. Sometimes you got to blame the person who was breaking the law. And police officers are put in very dangerous situations, and they have to make a split decision that sometimes involves taking a life. I never met a police officer that enjoyed that. On some more positive news, NASA. Oh, I guess it's not positive. Never mind. I guess I should read my teleprompter before mouthing off. But anyway, NASA Orion's launch there scrubbed after some setbacks there. They're going to plan a new, launch date for Orion spacecraft. And looking forward to that. I love the fact that we're still exploring space. I don't know. I like that. The pioneer in me loves I just love that. I love space exploration. I'm a nerd at heart. I'm a sci-fi groupie at heart. Loves Star Trek and very passionate about Star Wars. So it always really gets my imagination going when we talk about exploring space. Anyway, let's get our party started. Matter of fact, speaking of end of the year, my first guest, Mary King, talking about you and your taxes. Mary King is one of our regular contributors, and Mary King is known as the problem-solving attorney, the IRS problem-solving attorney, co-author of the best-selling book, Protect and Defend. Mary's career as an attorney began in 1993 after graduating from Stetson University College of Law. Her career in law has primarily focused on IRS problem solving as well as mortgage foreclosure defense. Mary has been practicing law for 19 years and enjoys helping her clients remove the dark cloud of the IRS. Mary King, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you very much. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
We did. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving. What about you guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's always good. Now, you know, it's interesting that here we are in the middle of the holiday season, and really it's the time to start preparing for tax season almost, isn't it?
It is. It's never too late.
Absolutely. Never too early.
Never too early also.
All right, so let's talk about this. What changes in circumstances should you report which may affect your premium tax credit?
Well, this has to do with if you purchased health insurance through the marketplace. If you did, you're required to report changes to the marketplace when they happen. The changes that you're required to report are, for instance, an increase or decrease in your income. That would, of course, be because then you may or may not qualify for the marketplace. A marriage or divorce, that's pretty self-explanatory. Birth or adoption of a child, same thing. If you start a new job that has health insurance, that also will be important because there are some laws about, you know, if you're still eligible for the marketplace and so forth. Changing your residence, that has to do with the premium you pay. If people have questions about this or this may apply to them, they can go to the following website. It's healthcare.gov, and then / how do I report life changes to the marketplace. I know, long website, right?
But, you know, it is a long one, but at least it's very specific.
Oh, it is.
So, okay, give out that website one more time.
Sure. It's healthcare.gov/ how do I report life changes to the marketplace.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. All right. So what are some tips for year-end gifts to charity? Let's talk about this.
Okay. So when you're thinking about doing charitable gifts, regardless of what they are, what I like to tell my clients is keep in mind if you are audited at some point down the road, you need to be sure that you have, first of all, documentation of the gifts, and that you made gifts that you can, you know, show. So, for instance, for charitable contributions of clothing or household items, you can claim up to $500 of those kind of items. If it's higher than that amount, you need to get an appraisal of the item and keep it with your tax return.
Gotcha.
The other thing is that you have to get a letter from the charity that if you have given a gift that's worth in excess of $250.
Okay, so if it's $250, you must have a receipt. Is that what
correct?
You said? Okay.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you this real quick. What about, you know, like if you drop something off at a place like Goodwill, what's the strategy? I mean, what's the standard there? Because, you know, they sometimes will give you a receipt and sometimes it's barely got anything written on it. What should I be aware of when I'm donating stuff to these places?
When you get that receipt, you need to write on that receipt exactly what you gave them and, you know, date it. Be sure it's filled out, dated, you know, it has the name of the charity, for instance, Goodwill on it. And then again, keep that with your records. If you, I will tell taxpayers this, the charitable deductions are a fertile ground for audits. So you need to be real careful about, you don't say, you know, you gave the old big box TVs and it was worth $500.
Right.
You know, so you need to be real careful about, you know, what you're actually claiming on those receipts. There is a site on the IRS website that gives you the values for, you know, clothing or furniture, or whatever that you are donating. And that way your tax preparer actually can know exactly, well, a ballpark of what the items are worth.
Right. Yeah. And I think that you know, what's the old adage? Err on the side of caution.
Absolutely. When you're talking about the IRS, absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, and so if you really think in your heart and you can maybe prove that it's worth $500, whatever your donation is, maybe put it in for $450. You know, talk to your tax preparer about that because, yeah, I like what you said there. It's a fertile ground for audits, and we all love to have that stuff happen. All right, let's talk about this. What are some ways to save twice for the same amount? Walk me through this.
Well, this has to do with taxpayers who are in the low to moderate income range. It's called the saver's credit. And the way it works is not only can you save money for retirement, but you also save on your tax return with a special credit. And the formal name of this tax credit is called the Retirement Savings Contributions Credit. Again, another one of these long names.
Yeah.
So this credit helps you to offset the first part of the $2,000 that you voluntarily save for retirement, and it includes amounts that you put in IRAs, 401ks, you know, those kind of things. What that can do, this credit can do, is increase your refund or reduce the tax you owe. The maximum amount is $1,000 or $2,000 for a married couple. And here's the part that will affect some people is there are income limits based on your filing status. So, for instance, if you're a married couple filing jointly with income up to $60,000, you would apply. If you're a married person filing separately or single with income up to $30,000, then you would be able to take the tax credit. It's like when you're contributing to an IRA, you have up until April 15 of the following tax year, which in this case would be 2015, to
right.
set up an IRA or add money to your IRA.
So you have until what time? April 15th, you say?
Right. So, for instance, for 2014, you have up until April 15th of 2015 to make your deposit into a IRA or open a new IRA and then add money.
Well, that's kind of cool.
It is.
That just amazes me that the IRS is so lenient. It seems like, you know, that's like, you know, what do you call it? That's like awesome. in the sense that, you know, a lot of people get their bonuses in January. So if you're one of those individuals who gets a year-end bonus or a Christmas bonus, you can now get that bonus at the end of the year or January and still make it work for your taxes. That's like
that's
a sweet deal.
It is. It's great. But I think the other thing that's also important is, and a lot of people don't realize, is regardless of whether or not you get a bonus or anything else, if you haven't had the money up till now to deposit into your IRA, again, you still have until April 15th of 2015 to do it. So if you've been thinking, oh, I really need to deposit money into my IRA, you can at least start saving a little bit every week to put into that IRA because you can at least make some sort of deposit by April 15th.
Yeah. No, I love that. That's a great idea. All right. So let's talk about this. There are five things you should do to avoid surprises at tax time. What are these five things that you should do to avoid surprises?
Okay, well, when we're talking about surprises, we're talking about either owing taxes or owing more taxes than you thought you would, or getting a larger refund, which is, of course, the better thing to do, right? But here are some things you need to do. You need to take a look at how much withholding that you've had year to date, and you may want to talk to your accountant, to your tax preparer, and say, hey, am I having enough withholding? If you're not, you can always go to your employer and say, hey, I need to complete a new form, W-4, which is the Employee's Withholding Allowance Certificate, and give it to your employer so that they can withhold additional funds for you. The other one, of course, is like we talked about the health insurance marketplace. If you have had a change in circumstances, whether you got a new employer, whether you got married, divorced, what have you, you also need to be sure that those changes have been reflected in your W-4. So two things with your W-4. Another one on your W-4, and I see this a lot, a taxpayer may have themselves and then 9 deductions. Well, that's because they're claiming, you know, people that aren't existing, or they're claiming their dogs and cats or whatever. You can't do that. And believe me, I have heard this.
You cannot claim your pets. Oh, man.
I know. It's amazing. So you want to be sure that that W-4 is accurate, because if it's not, you definitely could end up owing much more than you thought you would, because your employer isn't taking out enough withholding. The final thing is, and this has to do with people who are self-employed, you need to be paying estimated taxes. And this is another area where I see people get into trouble. If you're not paying estimated taxes, then you're not paying anything to the government for your taxes. So at the end of the year, you'll get hit with self-employment tax in addition to the regular tax that you would owe. And it can be quite substantial.
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. So when you're doing estimated taxes, like the word says, estimated. So are there little points or tips for estimating? I mean, should you look at what you paid last year and just go off of that as a way of estimating?
Well, actually, if you go to the IRS website, there is a form 1040-ES. That form is the one that you submit with your estimated tax payment. You use that form, and there's some instructions to calculate how much you would have to send in. And generally, estimated taxes are paid every quarter. So right now, obviously, if you're just paying estimated taxes, now you're way behind, but it's better to pay something rather than nothing.
Yeah. Like you said, let's avoid those big surprises. All right, what else? Was that four or was that five?
That was four.
Okay. All right. So were there five things or four things to avoid surprises at tax time?
Well, there were four, and there were five, but I sort of grouped two together. As far as changing in circumstances and changing taxes with life events, because those are they're very close.
Right. Gotcha. It makes sense. All right. So you know what? In the whole thing, really just staying in contact with your tax preparer and asking questions, I think, is one of the other ways that you can avoid surprises at tax time. You know, the last thing you want to do is start communicating with your preparer, you know, like April 12th. Which is what a lot of people do, or April 15th. It's too late. At this point, you're right in the middle of tax season and people are overwhelmed. You really need to start doing that now, maybe January at the latest. Am I right?
Well, I suggest that people actually go in to see their tax preparer in October and discuss things like, am I having enough withholding taken out? Am I paying enough estimated taxes? So that, you know, by the end of December, you know, you've paid in what you need to pay in, or your withholding has been adjusted, because you don't really want to wait till now to try to fix that. I mean, you can if you can make a substantial payment towards, for instance, estimated taxes, but you really don't want to wait that late.
Gotcha. All right, Mary King, we're out of time. Thank you so much for stopping by. Guys, if you need help with your taxes, check out TaxLawyerFlorida.com, TaxLawyerFlorida.com. She can help you no matter where you live. Mary King, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing.
Thank you. Have a great holiday.
All righty. We are off and running, getting ready for the holidays as well as getting ready for your taxes. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back right after this.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Rose
and Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
This is so cool.
You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, it was nice.
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right. We are back. My next guest, Lauren Angel. Lauren Angel is a certified staging professional consultant, also known as CSP, owner of the Art of an Angel. Get it? Lauren Angel, Art of an Angel. The Art of Home Staging. She is the co-author of the best-selling book, Home Staging Secrets, in 2013. In 2011, Lauren received her Turnaround Business of the Year Award from CSPI. She is a federal OSHA safety officer and a paint contractor and an artist. She lives in Los Angeles for the past 16 years with her husband, William, and their two daughters, Lauren Angel. Welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
You bet, you bet. All right, so Lauren, let me ask you this. Why did you become a stager? What was the attraction there?
Well, in 2009, I went for a trip where my mother-in-law lives, and she asked me for my help to place her furniture. She had an open plan apartment and couldn't figure out the right placement. So in 2 days, I painted the apartment, we bought furniture, and completed with some new accessories. And that was absolutely stunning. I couldn't believe it. Every time we were on the phone, she would tell me, my apartment looks like from a magazine. And when I came back, I told my friends how exciting was this experience, and she told me about staging. And that opened a new door for me. I was a paint contractor at the time, and I was thrilled to learn something new. And after a lot of searching for the best training, I love to be professional in everything I do. I found CSP, the Certified Staging Professional in Canada, and I took my training with them, and that was the best thing I ever did. But in Canada, staging was blooming, but coming back to LA, it wasn't so great. Not too many people knew about it or understood it. And after 2 years dedicating my time for educating people, my painting days were over. And I became a full-time stager. I absolutely love my work. I love the process. Selling a house and moving can be so stressful that we just make it a lot more easier for our clients. It is so rewarding that the day that I would feel that I am actually going to work, I would probably quit.
That is fantastic. I love a story like that. I mean, it's exciting to hear your passion and your voice. All right, let's talk about this. When it comes to color and staging, how important is color?
Well, color is one of the most important elements when staging a house. And since buyers are buying by emotion, color creates just that. From the front door throughout the house, when colors works in harmony with other, the house would feel welcoming, and that will create a very comfortable feeling. But when it's not, you would feel very uncomfortable in a house. Color can also be very taste specific and does not work for everyone. So we are tending to choose neutral colors throughout the house. Staging has science behind it, and color is one of the ways to bring our potential buyers' eyes to where we want them to look. I'll give you an example. We had a house with an unbelievable view, and that's what actually you see from the front door. We were selling a view in this house. So all we had to do is to mute down the colors in the house, and we placed an outdoor set with some red pillows, and there you go. Standing at the door, your eyes would attract to the red pillows and from there automatically to the view. That was so fantastic that the realtor himself actually ended up buying this house.
Wow. That is so cool. No, I love that because, you know, marketing is all about controlling where the eyes go, right? Where you want the customer's attentions to be focused
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what you're doing with color.
Absolutely. You do it with color and with picture, and you decide where you want your buyer's eyes to go to. And that's the science behind it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. All right, so let's talk about this. You know, do you work with investors and these house flippers?
Yes. Well, flippers and investors understand that more than 60% of potential buyers are willing to pay more money for ready moving homes. People today are so busy that when it comes to buy a house, they don't want to spend the little money that they have and the cash flow that they have on repairs and upgrades. And let's face it, that most people today are not handy like people used to be to do the work themselves. People today want to move to their new home on Thursday and have a party on Sunday. So the work with investors starts actually when they just purchase a property. And then an investor, if they're new, he or she, their first smart move is to actually get consultation with a professional stager to help them with colors and material choices. Do it once, do it right. Mistake costs money and time. So once all the renovations are completed, the stagers goes in. An investor knows to add staging to the budget. And that is a marketing tool. So he also understands that buyers are buying by emotion and that more than 90% cannot envision how a house can look like. You have to make that emotional connection between the potential buyer to the house, and staging is the only way to do it.
Gotcha, gotcha. All right, let's talk about this real quick. The staging industry is really, as you said, it took a while, but now it's become mainstream. I mean, it seems like if you really want to sell a house fast, staging is like the secret weapon.
Absolutely. No doubt.
What do you think? Yeah, what is it most people don't know about stagers?
Well, a professional home stager is your coach for selling your home from start to finish, your handholder all the way. This is actually a teamwork of the seller, the agent, and the stager. And most people don't know how hard is a stager work. A stager wears so many hats in the process. He's a mover, and many times he's the cleaner. He's a problem solver, and he's an artist. Almost a magician. What you don't see actually on AGTV shows, all the things that goes wrong, and usually there is never time that something doesn't go wrong. The wrong color, the wrong chair, the wrong rug. Stagers usually have between 1 to 2 days to complete a house, to choose the furniture and accessories, bring them to the house, unload, unpack, and placing them. Not all the time everything goes smoothly, so they have to be very creative. And then after the house is sold, to pack everything, move them back to the warehouse, unload, unpack, organize, and sometimes to maintain them. And let's not forget about the shopping. Sometimes our clients selling their home not because they want to sell it, and there's a lot of sadness and hard feeling comes in the process, and they need the help to go through this, and we are there for them.
It's amazing. It's amazing that you guys, you're doing so much. You really help sell the house. You hold the hand. Mm-hmm. You comfort. It seems like you're getting, overworked and underpaid.
Well, you know, it is a very rewarding job. And I say staging is an art, and we are your angels, part of an angel.
Right. I love it. I love it. All right. Listen, we're out of time. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. Lauren Angel, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
guys. We're off and running. Great stuff there by Lauren Angel about selling your house. If you want top dollar, get a stager. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, Mike Sorensen, he's got an interesting story, and you're going to love this guy. He's a war hero and really changing the lives of other war heroes and veterans right after this quick commercial break.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler Steve.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on Geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Oh, we're back. Hey, you're going to love my next guest. I met him at an event a couple of weeks ago, months ago. I can't remember. It's been a short time. Within the last 30 days or so, Mike Sorensen is a 7-year Army veteran. He has been diagnosed with PTSD. He is also the co-founder and chief visionary officer of Dogs Project. That's DAWGS Project, a nonprofit organization for veterans of all eras who are suffering with PTSD and TBI and other service disability injuries. The website is dogs, DAWGSproject.org. Mike Sorensen, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hi, thank you for having me.
All right, so PTSD, most of us know what that is, and I completely forgot what TBI has to TBI. I know it has to do with, I think, like the head, right? What does TBI stand for?
Roger that. TBI stands for traumatic brain injury.
Traumatic brain injury. I knew it was something like that.
Yes. It's pretty common. Football players have it. Boxers have it. People that get in car accidents have it. It's just pretty much your brain goes through a traumatic event and gets rattled around.
Right. Absolutely. All right. So let's talk about this. First of all, why don't you explain to the audience, what is the mission that Dogs Project plans to fulfill?
Well, the mission of Dogs Project is to lower the suicide, homeless, incarceration, divorce, depression, and unemployment rates amongst our military vets through the help of service dogs or service animals with counseling, education, and leadership programs that we have set in place through a 3-phase project. And through the 3-phase project, just to give you a short description of it. The first phase, we pair up the veteran with a rescue dog, and they then go through service dog training together. The veteran learns life skills with the trainer by being able to utilize what he learns with the dog and how to use it in a real life situation. Like with me, with my dog, every time I get nervous in crowded situations, he'll come by my side, or he'll lick my knee, or he'll stand right on me, so I know he's right there. So by doing that, that lets us associate, hey, it's okay, we're okay. You know, we're not in a hostile environment, everything's all right. So that gives us a different view of everything. So with that, from there, We establish basically a bond, a starting point, to reestablish the veteran how they should see themselves, not as how they see themselves now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So the second phase of the project is we group veterans with local organizations and national organizations to let them know that they're not alone and that there are other veterans and other civilians out there doing the same thing and there to support. So that builds a foundation behind you. And then the final phase of the Dogs Project is we hope to inspire everybody that goes through this to inspire somebody else to do something great through their action. So whether they volunteer for anything in their community or create a business to create revenue or more jobs in their community, whatever it is, we want to help them inspire other people to do great things. So it's kind of like a pay it forward, but by saying pay it forward, you imply that there's a debt. There's no debt to this. You've already paid your debt. This is just, if at the end of it, through everything, through every veteran that I've ever met and most civilians that I've met. By the time you see that you have the support, that you can do anything, they're more than willing to help everybody else out that they can. So it's kind of like what World War II veterans did when they came back and built this great country that we all grew up in.
I love that. I love that. All right. So you know what? And if you feel up to it, I would love for you to kind of give us your story real quick, how you put the Dogs Project together.
It wasn't just me. It was a group of people. Some real close friends of mine throughout the years saw the struggles that I went through. But they also saw the very specific points in my life that they were there to help me push through the decisions I had to make. And now we're at where we're at now. So that's where the three phases come from. Because through my recovery, there was three dramatic points in my life that if I would have made a different decision, I wouldn't be here today to give this story. And a lot of that I owe to my dog. And that's where the whole service animal comes in, because I went through years of counseling. I had family members, the closest people to me tried to reach me, and nobody could. And there's a lot of veterans out there like that. There's a lot of civilians out there like that. And it took a dog to to reach me when nobody else could. So
right. And you came, you know, you came, and again, I don't want to stir up bad emotions, but you came very close to killing yourself, but for your dog.
Well, okay, so with that, there was actually two times. The first time, I actually, it should have happened. They had to give me blood to keep me alive. I was out for 3 days. The second time, this was before I met my dog. And then the second time was after I met my dog, a couple months into the program, I didn't see it working. And that was one of the dramatic changing points. So, and I understand the bond that me and my dog have. A lot of people try to explain it to me, and you can explain somebody how to be a race car driver, and then you put them behind the wheel. It doesn't mean that they're a race car driver. You know what I mean?
Right.
They have to go through the experience. They have to learn it. So it's just, that's why it is how it is, how there's phases. And just like the military, the military uses a crawl, walk, run analogy for pretty much anything that we're teaching or you need to learn. So the first phase is the crawl phase, just like ours, the crawl phase. You establish yourself. The second phase is a walk phase. Well, we're still right there by your side, but now you're walking through it. You're moving faster. And then the last phase, the third phase, the run phase, that's when you have all the tools. You have everything behind you. You know we're right next to you, but now we need you to keep up with us. It's a military mentality, and it works. It works so good.
Right. You know what? And I love that you're using those experiences and those tools to help other people because, you know, the walk, crawl, what is it? Walk, crawl, run is a great...
Crawl,
is a great,
walk, run.
What is it? Walk, crawl, run. Thank you.
Just like a baby. They learn to crawl before they walk, and they learn to walk before they run.
Crawl, walk, run. You know, it's something that most people can understand, right? It's vitally important, but it's something that everybody can relate to versus overwhelming somebody with more stuff.
Correct. It's keeping it at a Barney level.
Keeping it at a Barney level. I love that. All right. Well, let's talk about this. What benefits have you seen or experienced that makes you want to pursue the Dogs Project mission? What is your involvement in these efforts now?
Okay. So, the benefits that I see, first we'll use my personal life. Like I said, this whole thing was created through my experience with everybody that I had behind me. We all got together and we saw a problem, and we decided to do something about it. And we used history to utilize it. Our formula we're using, the same formula the World War II veterans used when they came back. And they used the community and rebuilt the community through their recovery. It's the same thing that we're doing now, just nowadays. Some of the other benefits that I've seen is there's one veteran that we've helped. He's in Florida. He goes by the name of Tanner Kuth. He's an amputee, and we paid for service dog training for him. And he should be finishing up with that right now. And then after that, he goes on to the second phase. But he's a very interesting gentleman. He's unbeknownst to me, and that's another thing that we use in the military all the time. He actually has a nonprofit organization as well. I believe it's called Purple Hearts of Gold. Yeah, Purple Hearts of Gold. And it's a nonprofit. It's a nonprofit organization to help. I believe it's the Purple Heart awardees and their family members, the Gold Star family members.
Yeah. No, I love that. I think. Go ahead.
Oh no! He's one of the gentlemen that we went and helped, and it's just amazing that he's already doing something before any of this, because he sees the benefit of everything.
I love it. I love it. Mike, we're out of time, but I want to give another shout-out to the website. It's called dogsproject.org, D-A-W-G-S, project.org. Guys, reach out to dogsproject.org. Get involved with Mike. Let's help our heroes overcome PTSD. Let's minimize suicide rates. Let's help our returning veterans assimilate as easy as possible. Mike Sorensen, thank you so much for stopping by. Would love to have you back again.
Thank you very much. We would love it.
All righty. Guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to be talking about sales and how you can, you know, get involved. What do I want to say? I don't know. I'm lost. Anyway, but my next guest, Grant Cardone, he is the founder of What It Takes Network. He's also New York Times bestselling author. We're going to be hanging out with Grant Cardone right after this.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right, guys, we're back. Best-selling New York Times best-selling author Grant Cardone. In fact, I just got inspired. Are you stuck with business or sales? Hey, don't do it alone. Call Grant Cardone. Ooh, hey, here we are. Grant Cardone is the founder of Whatever It Takes Network, and author of 4 business books since 2008. Economic Collapse, an international speaker and business innovator. Cardone owns multiple companies, including a software and technology business, a consulting company to Fortune 500 companies, and Cardone Acquisitions, a national real estate company. He often appears on Fox News, MSNBC, contributes to Entrepreneur.com, Wells Fargo, American Express, Open Forum, Business Insider. The list goes on. Grant Cardone, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
And I love Money for Lunch. I can't think of any better lunch than Money for Lunch.
There you go.
Lunch, dinner, breakfast, snacks.
That's it, man. So there it is, man. There's your new, you know, there is the, what do I call it, the Grant Cardone philosophy there. Don't do it alone. Call Grant Cardone. I mean, it just rolls off.
I don't know, man. It sounds like a freaking insurance ad to me.
Well, you know. Don't you insure success for these Fortune 500 companies?
but it's spelled different. It's insure, E-N-S-U-R-E. R-E. No, look. What I'm helping people with, most of the we do work with Fortune 500 companies. I mean, I've worked with Chrysler, Toyota, Google, companies like this. But most of our business is with companies, entrepreneurs, startups. I mean, there's 22 million companies in America that have no employees. It's just, you know, mom and dad trying to run a business, make a business work.
Right.
And they don't have any employees. So that's who we're working with every day, to show people how to literally, without spending any money in advertising, how to go get 10 or 15% more revenue at no cost, and that'll fall right to their bottom line. And that's available to any company, anywhere, in any economy, no matter how bad, how many excuses, or how many competitors you have that sell for less than you. And it doesn't matter whether you're selling advertising or your laundromat service or a dry cleaner or a plumber or you're in real estate. That opportunity is out there for everybody.
I love it. And you know what? It's so very true. I mean, bottom line is, I love not only what you're doing, but I like the passion that you're doing it with, because there's so many companies that are overwhelmed with misinformation. And bottom line, it takes somebody like you or your team to come in there and help them figure it out, that, like you just said, you don't have to spend thousands of dollars to advertise. All you need is a better strategy or a better, tactics to make these things happen. Let's talk about this real quick, Grant. You have just, you're about to launch, or maybe you've already launched, this thing called Whatever It Takes Network. What is Whatever It Takes Network?
Whatever It Takes Network is a company that is a digital network where we push live content through the internet. Not YouTube, though. We're not using YouTube. So think about an entrepreneurial website, if you will, a digital site that pushes 25 shows a week on everything entrepreneurial, from startup to retirement. Anything that you're going to do with money, it gets pushed in full video or a podcast. You can listen to it, but it's all about entrepreneurs making money, increasing your wealth, protecting your wealth, conserving it. And this is a big gap. This is not really offered anywhere. It's like CNBC with no BS.
Gotcha.
You don't have to listen to ads about how sick you are. I don't know if you watch TV much, but, you know, if you watch TV, you actually probably get sick watching it, not because of what the TV is, but the ads.
Right.
Hey, are you feeling depressed? Are you feeling down? Are you feeling depressed? Well, of course I am. Hell, this is the ad that you keep sending me, you know. Do you have restless leg syndrome, you know?
No, that's my favorite.
Are you having
one.
Trouble having sex with your wife? I mean, so this is no noise, no politics. It's no problems, just solutions, what you can do right now, regardless whether the dollar's going up or the dollar's going down, the market's going up or the market's going down. What do you need to do as an entrepreneur to grow your business? And what do you need to do to grow your money so that you might be one of the 20% that aren't living paycheck to paycheck?
I love that. All right, so I got to ask you this. What was the inspiration behind launching this network?
Because you know, I'll tell you what it was. It was a frustration of dealing with the networks. And since you're a media guy, you know what I mean.
Yes.
Okay. Radio and TV is, you know, they're slow. They've made so much money for so many years, and they are not apt to change. You know, and there's opportunity out there for people. People want to get information on their phone today. They want to get it on their TV if they choose to. They want to get it on their tablets. So I want to be able to push content to people, and I want to be able to say it the way I want to say it. I don't want to do the politics. I don't have a political agenda. And if you're going to be with one of the networks, one of the big networks, you have to have some kind of political agenda. You got to go along with their agenda.
Right.
And,
you got to sell advertising.
You know, it doesn't – look, my deal is this. Left or right, it doesn't matter. Okay, 76% of the Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. That is a freaking bottom line reality. The wealthiest country on planet Earth, and 3 out of 4 people are living paycheck to paycheck. That means the information these people are getting from high school to college to the media is incorrect.
Right.
Because that many people can't be wrong unless they're getting bad information. And so we're trying to get people real information from real entrepreneurs. We have 25 shows a week. And the concept is whatever it takes. The network says, look, whatever it takes, are you one of those few people that says, hey, I want to be in that 20% that has financial survivability no matter what happens?
Right. You know what? And I want to add something to that because, you know, not only are, like you said, 87% living paycheck to paycheck, but then we have the other, then we also have the other issue that I think kind of dovetails into that mentality. And that is like, what, 30% or 40% are obese or morbidly obese? I mean, you know, I think that there's a total mental shift that has to happen. And hopefully, whatever it takes network will help this this mental shift take place. Because, you know, to me, I think that you have to have a certain amount of energy and physical health in order to have it all. I mean, there's no point in making hundreds of millions of dollars only to trade it for your health.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, though. If you're going to be unhealthy, you may as well have $100 million to go with it, okay? Look, if you're going to be obese, man, make sure you're obese in more than one place, okay? Like, you know.
Might as well have an obese
The reality is, the hustle is missing in America, and I don't mean the hustle in the street.
People aren't working it out.
Look, the average American works 35 hours a week, okay? They make $52,000 a year. So if you listen, if you turn on the TV today, what you're going to hear is, you're going to hear somebody say something about minimum wage. Only 2 million people in America are paid minimum wage. There's 311 million people in here. Less than 10% of the population, I mean, it's not even 1% of the population gets paid minimum wage. But you hear all this political stuff about minimum wage. The average American makes $25 an hour. The point is this. You can't survive on $25 an hour, much less minimum wage. The people that are being overlooked in this country are the ones, the middle, the ones that are making 25. It's not just the obese. It's not just the exaggeration of a problem. It's the guys in the middle, the guys, the gals, families, the households in the middle making 52 that don't have any money. The 65-year-old American in this country has less than $30,000 in a savings account, and they have 30 years left to live. How do you live for 30 years with 30K?
Right.
So we want to change that, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. I love this. Whatever it takes. I think that needs to be part of the what do you call it? We need to bring that back to the American culture, because really America was built on whatever it takes. Just get it done. No excuses. Let's just go through it. And so I think we've gotten away from that whatever it takes attitude.
No doubt about it. Instead, what we've done is trade whatever it takes for being a Democrat or a Republican or just a frustrated. And I'm like, look, no matter what your position is, if you're one of the frustrated like I am, and I'm just like, I'm frustrated, I'm just going to check out on the politics. Well, that doesn't solve anything either, because if you're not going to be a whatever it takes person, then you're just a whatever person. And we all know the whatever. Oh, whatever. Oh, you didn't get the raise?
Right.
Yeah, whatever. Oh, you didn't get the job? Whatever. No, you got to shift into whatever it takes and do that ethically.
Yes.
So that I can take care of my wife and my kids and my dreams. Yeah.
And so, okay, so whatever it takes, the website is WITNation.com?
You can use that. You can use that, WITNation.com, or you can use WhateverItTakesNetwork.com.
WhateverItTakesNetwork.com. I like that. All right.
But don't go there if you're not willing to hear and do whatever it takes, because you will get kicked in the head. You'll get your spouse kicked in the head. I mean, we handle everything from, hey, is your husband on the same page as you? You know, if you're coming home at night and your spouse is saying, you work so late, why are you home? Why are you always working so much? You cannot say that to your spouse today. I've been married 11 years. My wife has never asked me why I work so hard. She knows why I work so hard. I work hard for us because I want to protect us, because I know the government can't and won't.
Right, and let me add to that, and the government shouldn't. It is up to us, right? And I like what you said there. The husband and wife have to get on the same page. It is a family. It's a family goal, right? I mean, just
the family affair.
There you go, man. So look
at all the people. Like we just got done with Thanksgiving, right? And everybody feels obliged to do Thanksgiving. See, this is a middle class myth. Oh, we got to do Thanksgiving. Everybody's going to get together. All of America took off 5 days, and at least three out of those four people should not have taken off those 5 days. Their financial condition would tell me they shouldn't take off for 5 days. Just because the rest of the nation did, and just because it's a tradition for 200 years. Hey, look, we're about to do it again with Santa Claus. Like, what are we doing? You're obligated to take a vacation to go, you know, up to the north to where the snow is, or I got to do another 5 or 6 days December. Now, it might sound like I'm all about money. Here's the deal. I'm all about taking care of my family. And if I got to neglect a turkey, or I got to neglect Santa, or if I have to work on Sundays, even though God spent 6 days creating the planets, the earth, the heavens, the stars, and the seas, then he took off. He completed the task and then took a day off. I know people taking 2 and 3 days a week off and hadn't done anything.
Right. Well, you know what? And here's the deal. If you study the scriptures, if you study the Bible or the Torah, it also talks about the ox and the mire. You know what? If your ox is in the mire, you got to work on the Sabbath. So if you're if your family needs you to work on the Sabbath, God will bless you. Get your butt working on the Sabbath, and you got to take care of yours first. Here's the other thing that I completely agree with you. Not only do we feel obligated to take all this time off, but here's the thing that pisses me off the most, and I find very alarming that so many people feel obligated to get in debt over Christmas. If you cannot afford to give everybody a present, then that's okay. Give everybody a card. Give everybody a well-drafted email with heart and with love, because ultimately, whatever you buy them today will be forgotten within a few days anyway.
Totally agree with you. You know, it's like, what are you doing? People aren't thinking the deal through. They're not, you know, this is a sad state. Look, Spain, 15 years ago, Spain knew it was going bankrupt. Everybody knew it. I don't know if you follow anything, internationally, but it was the painting was all over the place. The writing was on the wall, right?
Right.
But you know what people do? Oh, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go.
I'm not going to change.
15 years later, here we are. Now it's too late. So, you know how many families will not leave within 10 miles of where they were born? How many people in America live 10 miles from the place they were born because they just got rooted in? And they say, well, my family's here. Yeah, but where's the opportunity?
Well,
the opportunity?
Do you remember? Did you ever read the book? I think it's like, you know, Who Took My Cheese or Where's the Cheese or something like that.
Yeah, Who Moved My Cheese? Yeah.
Who Moved My Cheese? You know what I got out of that book? And this is to bring your point home, and that is that the difference between men and mice. Mice will leave once the cheese is no longer there. They will get up and go where the cheese is at. Men will stay there and die and starve and have this horrible experience because I'm afraid to leave my family. I'm afraid to move. I'm afraid to do whatever, and they stay there and they stagnate, and then they get, they start complaining about their lives.
Yeah, and the thing that kills me is they blame it on their kids. Well, I don't want to leave, I don't want to leave because, the kids, kids? I got a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old, and I don't want to take them out of school. You don't want to take them out of what school? Well, they got friends there. What friends? What's that got to do with this?
Right.
Like, literally, people are making decisions. Look, my 3-year-old, my 5-year-old, I would die for them.
I would say people are making excuses, not decisions.
Oh, totally.
Man,
my 3-year-old, my 5-year-old.
Right now.
Yeah, I'm going to do whatever I have to do, whatever it takes. And if that means my 3-year-old and my 5-year-old get displaced and they're upset and they have to make new friends, how's that a problem, making new friends?
Right. Well, you know what? And let me tell you, the reality is, if you had a 3-year-old, 6-year-old, 9-year-old, they'll recover very quickly. It tends to traumatize, the 13-year-olds through the 18-year-olds. Yes, it's rough. But like you said, you know what? They'll make new friends. Things will change. Things get better. You know what? If they see mom and dad roll up their sleeves and make the hard decisions for the family, there's the lesson. I'd rather explain to my kids that, listen, we got to do this because I got to take care of you. I got to make sure that I put money in the bank. I got to do this for the family versus telling them, oh, you know what? They're just, you know, we got to live in the slum because, I, you know, there's no opportunities here. You know, which you know, I don't know which conversation, you know, I mean, I know which conversation I'd rather have with my kids.
I just say, hey, you coming or not?
Hey, we're leaving tomorrow. You coming or not? I like this. Okay, so whatever it takes, and let's go back to whatever it takes network. Whatever it takes network, it features, did you say 24 shows, daily content?
25 shows. We have 25 shows by the end of by Christmas. It's free. Subscriptions are free. We will charge in the future. The content is unbelievable. It's called whateverittakesnetwork.com. You can go there and subscribe for free and get everything from shows on marriage and business. What happens? I think the first business is your marriage. My marriage is my most important business. I gotta keep that one right.
Yes.
All the way to millennials, to shows with guys like Jeff Gittermer, half the host. I mean, unbelievable shows, 25 different shows every week delivered straight to you. No politics, no pundits, and you're sick. And you don't have to see protests and riots, and you get to rise above the noise, my friend.
I love it. I love it. Rise above the noise, including sometimes the noise in our own head. Whateverittakesnetwork.com.
Yep.
I love it. Grant Cardone, we're out of time. Love to bring you back, my friend, and talk some more. And always good to have you on the show.
Thanks a lot.
All righty. Guys, we're up and running. Great stuff there about Grant Cardone about doing whatever it takes. Sometimes we forget that we can do hard things. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.